Standard. I don't know if they were saved or not, and I was praying, Jesus, man, make sure they were saved before they died. And shot, stabbed, everything, man, over the weekend. It's just,
but this is the soul. But that awakening that she's talking about.
Yeah.
That I call it the next move of God. Yeah. The enemy that made his move, but the next move of God is that awakening.
I know, I feel you on that.
That awakening is going to, I mean, it's going to...
It's an end time harvest.
It's just a burden, you know.
So it's the church that's got
to
do it.
While I was in the shower, Steve Quayle, you know, that's whenever he happens to him. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought about Steve, you know, this morning because it just hit me in the shower. All these people dying and going to hell because they're rejecting Jesus. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, that's why I wept. Because yes. Jerusalem.
Yes, did another visitation.
Well, he wanted to visit them. I know. Just like he wants to visit us.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
And they rejected him.
Yeah.
But the Jerusalem that's going to happen, especially after we're raptured, will not reject him, the Jews.
Amen. They will not.
Because that's when they're going to call Adam.
Okay. Play just a tip of that. Can't play much because we're out of time.
Thurston, we got a short time.
Okay. I couldn't help it. I ain't got my speaker with me.
Brother, this is a good time for you to stop and lead us into our communion. We want to take this communion as soon as Deborah can get her. Thank you, Sister Deborah.
Amen. Thank you, Deborah.
Let's just say a prayer over this communion, and let's take communion together.
Lord Jesus, thank you, Jesus.
You want me to do it?
Yeah, you. You, my brother.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Meg. We do it every Friday.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that we're able to partake of your body right now.
Yes, amen.
Lord, it is for our healing.
Yes, amen.
It is for, Lord, our mental healing.
Amen.
It is for, Lord, us to be restored in bodily and in spirit before you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I thank you, Lord, that my brothers and sisters, Lord, as they partake right now in Jesus' name, that we are healed.
We are healed.
We are healed.
We are healed.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. You're,
we are your body now.
Yes, unity.
My papa.
Amen.
Unity. By your stripes, we are healed.
Yes, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this precious blood, Lord, you spilled for us, Lord, to completely cleanse us of all sin.
Completely.
All iniquity, Lord, and all transgressions. We thank you, Lord, that we've been forgiven.
Amen.
And because of your blood, Lord, we have been restored back to the Father.
Thank you.
And we thank you, Lord, that this blood, Lord, has given us preservation, Lord, wholeness, unity in Jesus' name, and total restoration. We thank you, Lord, as we partake of it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, my brother. David, you need to get to the floor in a hurry.
Amen. Nothing like blood.
We need
Sure, real quick, is something with y'all seen Miss Kathy here a couple days ago. We were coming in for a chair.
Yeah.
And a mom.
What I want you to do is push your table closer in. Just push it. Push the whole table. Just push it.
We're going to start out 1 Peter this morning. First Peter. Let's see where I'm going to start at. All right. Oh, yeah, y'all just catch up with me. It's here in 1 and about 2. It says, the Holy Spirit has set you apart to be God's holy ones, obedient followers of Jesus Christ, who have been gloriously sprinkled with his blood. Amen. And may God's delightful grace and peace cascade over you many times over. Going down here, jump down. For his fountain of mercy has given us a new life. Yes, it has. We are reborn to experience a living, energetic hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are reborn into a perfect inheritance that can never perish, never be defiled, and never diminish. It is promised and preserved forever in the heavenly realm for you.
Read that again. It's promised.
It's promised and preserved.
And preserved.
Forever in the heavenly realm for you. Through our faith, the mighty power of God constantly guards us until our full salvation is ready to be revealed in the last time.
Jesus.
May the thought of this cause you to jump for joy.
Amen.
Even though lately you've had put up with grief and many trials, but these only reveal the stirring core of your faith, which is far more valuable than gold that perishes. Mm-hmm. For even gold is refined by fire. And your authentic faith and honor when Jesus, the Anointed One, is revealed. Take a little side journey, a little flashback, 45 years, and it'll help you see where we're going with this. Back when I graduated high school, over here at the old Minor High School in 1976, the gas shortage had come into play in 73. Well, old hot rod cars was a dime a dozen. I mean, you could buy them for nothing back in the day. Just a few hundred dollars, it'd get you a hot rod that's worth a lot of money today.
Everybody took their cars because
of I worked full time in my senior year, and I remember let my buddy borrow $400 to buy him a GTO. You know, $400 car worth probably $30,000 a day. But anyway, back in the day, there's these car enthusiasts and all, they come up with holy grails of cars, what they claim to be the holy grails of cars. And for the Ford lovers, I guess it's a Ford 429 Mustang. And for the Chevy, y'all women ain't gonna get this, but for the Chevy lovers, you know, maybe a 70 Chevelle, you know, big block motor. And for the Mopar people, I know Thurston loves Mopar, They was a Plymouth Barracuda, 426 Hemi, two full barrels, four speed. These cars today run from $2 to $3 million. What cost you $4 or $5 grand back then? $2 to $3 million. We see the great value in those cars, right? And back in the day, you get them for a little bit of nothing. But nobody at Minor High School had one of those particular cars because they're very rare. Okay, I set you up to say this. Deborah and I was talking about the footnotes of this Passion Version Bible and how they just didn't. I mean, it's wonderful. But let me read you the footnotes on this First Peter, what he was talking about the last days. It says, the third results of our new birth that Peter mentions is our full salvation or deliverance that will come when Christ is unveiled. It is ready to be revealed and waits for our discovery. The Greek word, optikeia, means to be unveiled and disclosed. Peter is saying that there is a more complete salvation awaiting us when Christ is unveiled in the last days. The normalized form of the apocalypse is the title of the last book of the Bible, Revelation. The unveiling of Jesus Christ. In just a few verses, Peter tells us that there's a grace also to be revealed to us in the last days. Or there's a grace coming to us from the book of the Revelation.
Amen.
That's what Peter's telling us. That in the last day, but Jesus Christ was revealed. That's what the apocalypse is, or the revealing of Jesus Christ.
Can I say one thing?
Yes, ma'am.
His big thing is fire. Fire of the Holy Ghost. And it said that when you were reading all that, the way that Bible was first came to me, is we're going to be refined by fire.
Amen.
It says it in there, right there. Amen. It says we're going to be refined by fire. So what you're talking about is connected about the fire taking care of the church, because the salvation and the grace is going to be here. That's for you, boy.
How it always goes back to that.
Okay. And I'm going to set you up. Now, if I had one of these cars like I was talking about, and I was going by Thurston's house, and I know Thurston kind of run them Chrysler products over years, and I say, Thurston, come on, let's take a ride. And we're going to ride, and we'd go over toward Gardendale, and there's a place over there called Laster Mountain. It's a dragway. You know,
we've been many a times.
And we'd go up there, and I'd go up there, and I'd turn them Christmas tree lights on.
Yep.
And I would say, Thurston, you know, Car and Track Driver or Car and Track magazines says they can get a 1235, 115 mile an hour, quarter mile. And I'd say, well, Road and Track says they can get a 1225. Running 117 miles an hour, quarter mile. What this car can do, what this car can perform. But if I say, first, let's see what you can do. How many of y'all know Thurston would know exactly what I was talking about?
Yes.
I'd want him to pull that car out there on that racetrack
and
go for a ride that he'll never forget. I'm understanding that.
But then it may be 4 months before you see Thurston again.
Okay.
Well, you can't drive it. Well, I guess you could drive some.
Now, let's read the footnotes from this book of Revelation.
Where are you at in 1 Peter? 1 Peter 2?
I was in first chapter
okay.
There. But let's go to the first chapter of Revelation. And going back to footnotes here, it says, happiness to one who reads the book of Revelation is the only book in the Bible that promises a rich blessing to those who read and obey what it states. The word blessing means happiness, and there are six other blessings found in Revelation. And listen to this. or at the hand, the Greek adverb egos is taken from the primary word verb ego, which means to squeeze in your hands or to hold to the reins or throttle in your hand. Throttle in your hand, you know, ride a horse wide open, you know, I was talking to cars, or you could run this thing, but the throttle is in your hands.
Yeah.
There is a sense in which the full understanding of the book of Revelation is ready to be unveiled and unveiled when the reader is ready. It's up to you to receive it. The time for this revelation is now, not the past nor the distant future. It's now.
Amen.
And this book, this, we'll get into this in future days ahead. We're going to tap into this book and see, because when we see who he is,
we'll see who we are.
We'll see who we are.
Yes.
So I'm on the end with that today, but we're going to get in this book in the future, and it is a blessing.
And where we are, Mary's, we're seated at the right hand that Mary gave to all of us. Mm-hmm. Who we are and where we are.
Amen.
We're already in heaven seated.
We're already legally with him.
Mm-hmm. Legally.
And we're there spiritually too.
And we gotta be there. We in him.
Yeah, y'all gotta be in
him. Y'all
there.
Got to bring the in him back. You're in him.
Because so he resurrected inside of us.
We're there.
He resurrected
inside of us. And it's easier with just technology. Just look what you see. Technology makes it easy to see it. Let me pull a book out of here. Let me get this computer thing.
But you
and
know,
it just makes it easy to see. It's easy for us to be in there.
I was at a family gathering, and one of my nieces was talking to a brother just like he was there.
Yeah.
Just like he was there in the room, you know. And you know, hey, I'm here, how you doing? And I mean, we could see each other.
Yeah.
We could talk to
yeah,
each
like
other.
Yeah, like he was telling them.
And when you hear of things being on TV, they say, now we have blah, blah, blah here with us. And they're not with us, they're coming through technology. Very good, Brother Jones. Mm-hmm. Technology. he has me out.
Y'all complete each other.
We do.
God, but y'all are complete in Christ, so you're. That what God's created, like the church.
Through technology is just like they just right there. They right there.
Right there.
And they think they discovered that, but no, heaven had already discovered that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, come boldly before my throne of grace.
That's right.
Yes.
We go there. Okay, brother.
Okay,
that's on point.
Do we need to bring our passion Bibles if we have one? Are you going to do it out of Revelation?
It's a good idea. I got mine.
That's going to be really good. That was good this morning.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, I think I'm glad we're back. I look forward to this class. I'm glad we can do it every week.
Are we doing it every week?
Not yeah. Now. We're moving back into that.
It'll be good. It's gonna be
we're moving back
good.
Into it.
The oneness of the Holy Spirit, I love it. I just love it. Last time we stopped on page 33, and today we'll pick up where we left off, but it fits like a glove from what's already been established already.
Which book are we still doing?
This is The Authority of the Believer, okay. Kenneth Hagin's book. Now he said, in the mind of God, we were raised when Christ was raised.
Mm-hmm.
When Christ sat down, we sat down too.
That's what we're talking about.
That's where we are now, positionally speaking.
Well, Sister Deborah was saying, okay.
We're seated at the right hand of the Father with Christ. The act of Christ being seated implies that for the time being, at least certain aspects of his work are suspended.
And that's
now,
the
he did what we could.
Rest.
Yeah.
We should be at rest.
Yeah, we should be at rest in him.
Right.
And when we rest in him, we can function in him.
Now you're getting on my scripture, abiding in the vine.
Yes.
We in union. That's where you're going, brother.
When we rest in him, that's where we're effective. And I've seen people, the church, see, Jesus said, I say come. The church say come. Now, he said this in the ending of Revelation, I think it was chapter 22. I say come, and the church say come. The will of the church is for people to get saved, healed, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and live forever.
Amen. Yeah.
And be functional, fruitful people on earth.
Amen.
In real time. But the way we go about getting that done is through him.
Yes.
If we can rest in him, we can do it.
In him. Mm-hmm.
Now he said, all the
things. I never thought this before, but talking about rest. Your body might be at rest, but it's still doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You just don't have to do the effort. I don't have to sit there and say, okay, let's breathe, Mary. There's no effort to it, is
yes.
So when you rest in him, the body's doing a lot of very important stuff.
That's deep.
I never thought of that before.
That's true.
Rest. That's
so many ministers, they get out of seminary and they ready to jump into work.
Want to save the world.
They want to save it. They mean well. They want to do it. But the way to do it, if they do it without the rest, it's a lot of grunt work.
Yeah.
But if they do it in the rest,
it's
perfectly effective.
Give us a supreme example. I'm not talking
Here's
about
another.
Moses, Elijah, a supreme
yeah.
example.
Well, Moses is a supreme example.
Jesus is a supreme example.
Paul is a supreme
Jesus
example.
Is that supreme.
Remember, we first met Paul, after, let's say, chapter 13 in the prayer room. When God changed his name to Paul, the Lord says, they were praying. They were getting the mind of Christ. They were in prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
they were. Weren't out doing the best idea they knew. They were in the prayer room. That's where it starts.
Yes, I do. That's
and the Lord says, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Now, Barnabas was first. And he said, see, the order of God, through that cooperation with the Holy Spirit, Paul excelled. He had already been with Jesus for 3.5 years, but now he's being trained by a man that was in the Holy Ghost. See, when the Lord connects the dots, it's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
There's no failure.
You know, David Hogan had to learn that physically down in New Mexico.
Uh-huh.
He had to learn that. Sure did.
Yeah.
Because until he learned that, he was being physically beaten.
Mm-hmm.
You can't win
if you just come up with a human plan. But if you got God's plan, it's perfect.
And not only that,
Barnabas could get Paul into places that Paul alone could get him.
That's right.
Because see, they was afraid of Paul. Yeah. But Barnabas had a reputation of a good, godly man.
Mm-hmm.
And he got him into places.
Now what if they reversed it? What if Paul said, no, I'm going to be in charge?
That's right.
That's why things fail. But he stuck with the rest. He followed the peace. He stuck with what God said, and it always worked.
That's good, Thurston.
But when people jump the gun on the Holy Ghost, they're gonna lose the race.
Jump the gun
against
like
time. They're gonna waste time.
When God was right in Revelations, he's writing to the churches, and what you were saying, people doing it under their own will. You know, the church at Ephesus, he says, this is the one thing I have against you, is that you abandoned the passionate love you had for me.
Mm-hmm.
So things that are done outside of Christ and outside of the love is labor, but it doesn't produce the same.
It works.
Right. Yeah. A lot of people are working, but they're not effective. They're somewhat effective, but they're not perfectly effective. And that's where the following the guidance of God comes in. Now, he gave us his authority.
Uh-huh.
We have faith in Jesus, and Jesus also has faith in us. He left us here in charge of this. Now, he continued with this next thought, which is very important to what we're going to say. All authority that was given to Christ belongs to us through him.
Amen.
He said all power in heaven and earth is given to me. And then he said, now this is the same day that he ascended. See, the end of Mark and the end of Luke and Acts chapter 1 is the same moment. He said, I give unto you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power. And that way, that was in Luke. But he said, I've given unto you power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Which implies that we have power, but we have to be guided with it. We have the authority, but the Holy Spirit's going to guide you.
That gets me back to the body.
Yeah.
Let the brain do what the brain's supposed to do.
We're
supposed to do blood flow. Yeah. I don't have to go around doing it. The brain, which is the head, which is Christ, does it for me and rest.
And now we become what Satan is terribly afraid of. He saw the first church link up with the Holy Spirit and walk in their authority.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Link up with the Holy Spirit.
And he couldn't do nothing
with it. They were powerful.
He told his fallen angels and demons and hard-headed men, we got to stop this. And in the dark ages, he thought he got away with it, but God always has a remnant. See, the church is much stronger than it appears to be. You can't go by what you see.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is, I love that song, he's always working. God is all, if you take your eyes off him, you're going to despair real quick.
Amen.
But God always has a remnant, and he always has a remedy. And he will talk to you. He'll talk to you about what he's doing, what man can't see. People want to see it, but they can't see it unless he revealed it.
You know, that's what happened on the cross. They couldn't see it. They were looking on the outside. Mm-hmm. God was on the inside.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Woo! And people didn't know that. They said, I didn't know that. And the church stayed on the outside, too.
People can be affected.
They whipped him so many times.
Every time.
That was just to kill the body.
Yeah.
God was on the inside.
Working.
Working with the spirit where the man had... Well, we had problems at mm-hmm. with our spirit. It wasn't just the flesh, it was our spirit.
Every time you do something, God say do,
mm-hmm.
you are solving a bigger problem than you can see right now.
That's good. So it's very important.
It's very important.
There's no little thing in the kingdom of God.
If you think about it, though, you know, you can lose a whole body from an infected splinter. And mm-hmm. if you've got that one person pulling out a splinter...
Everything's
good. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. That's perfect.
That's good. That's
now,
good,
agreement. We have to come to agreement with him. I don't know another way to do it except the prayer room, relating to him. He said all authority was given to Christ. All authority that was given to Christ belongs to us through him. And we may exercise it. We help him by carrying out his work upon the earth. And one aspect of his work, the word of God tells us to do, is conquer the devil. Mm-hmm. Now, it's up to us. I used to wonder, why didn't God just do away with Satan? Well, God didn't let him in the world. Man did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's always man's responsibility to drive him out. Now, he's a small problem. The big problem is, you know, if we do the work within, if we win the war within... The war without is easily won by you.
Amen.
Not the whole body, by you. One person can stop. Say it's not hard to do. And this is a little aside, but what people have been doing is receiving the word, learning the word, applying the word. But they didn't drive out the darkness. People repent.
They didn't take their authority while they
didn't flip the light switch.
They do, but they don't.
The electricity was on, and they just didn't flip the light switch.
To a point, they do. People repent. They turn from sin. But what if we took the word repent, the way people use it so loosely, we move it out of the way and put the word reject in this place? What if we reject everything that's tied to Satan? We just, in our heart, we reject it. It's gone. We drive it out with our authority, like the Hebrews should have driven out, like Israel should have driven out all the Canaanites. If they would have driven out every single Canaanite, all of it, gone, it would have established they would have been able to live and receive from God without interference.
That's right. No paganism.
No paganism, no blend of, just like our holidays, Christmas is blended with the pagan holiday. Easter is not even a biblical word. That comes from Ashtaroth or East or Est, but that's, they blended it. They married it. Rome married the church, and the church married Rome. But nevertheless, if all that junk was gone, now you can concentrate on what the Holy Spirit has to say. Israel would have been
teachers.
Yeah. Israel would have been the light of the world. They would have conquered those giants. The whole world would have known it because the giants would have been running away from Israel instead of to it.
They'd still have their land too.
They'll have their land. A lot of things, a lot more people would be saved. It's just,
and if Abraham hadn't made his mistake, he wouldn't have that problem with the Middle East, with Israel, all that.
A lot of things would, but even though that happened, if they would have driven out the land, the buck would have stopped there. And everybody would have recognized that God was with Israel.
But that would have happened if,
and so it is with you. If you drive out
yes.
all the junk, things that's been, all right, if the Lord say do something and you say, well, I'm afraid. Well, where did that fear, that where did that fear come from? It didn't come from God.
It came from here.
It came from the world, the influences around us that's been accepted. When I hear the Lord in the prayer room, and then years ago, when I would hear over the pulpit and the prayer, it would be two different things. Sometimes the same, sometimes different. Sometimes the same, sometimes different. And I said, Lord, why is this out of place? He would tell me why. But the revelation it would take to make the change, people would have to receive that in order to make